In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's the feast of St. Honorable de Francia. It was Luis's confessor. He was also the spiritual director of Melanie of La Salette. So Our Lady taught him through Melanie how to hear the things of heaven, the language of heaven. And when he began to listen to Luisa after, you know, all these years of her training, he knew very clearly that this was of the Lord. And it was the Lord that was speaking to her. It was the heavenly language that he understood. And that's why he said, Luisa is more of heaven than of earth. And those are the words also of Saint Padre Pio. Luisa was more of heaven than of earth. And that helps us understand that these writings are the words of heaven. And we have to learn this language. The language of heaven is not the language of earth. And Luisa puts in human terms divine realities. And that's why sometimes we have to read and reread so that we can begin to understand this language of heaven. So here on volume 22, October 16th, 1927, she says, after I had gone through various days of privation of my sweet Jesus, and the privation of Jesus was, you know, we hear visionaries, seers, talk about their experiences with heaven. And when Luisa experienced this, this was different than a vision or a locution or an apparition. And when Jesus wasn't present, they had the privation. She couldn't breathe. She couldn't. Her heart wasn't beating. She was like living dead. And this is why, you know, some people say, "Well, she complained all her life." No, she wasn't complaining. She was begging for air. She was begging spiritually. She was begging for a heartbeat spiritually. Her life was Jesus Christ, and without Jesus, like she says, going through various days of privation of my sweet Jesus, I was feeling embittered deep into the marrow of my bones, and I could take no more. Tired and exhausted, I wanted to refresh myself in order to gain strength, in order to gain a breath, in order to gain a heartbeat. Jesus was her life. This is what we have to understand. I've talked to visionaries. I've talked to seers, and they're happy. But being separated from heaven, in a way, they could still live. Luisa couldn't live. This is the difference. This is why St. Honorable de Francia said she was more of heaven than of earth, because her whole focus was of earth. Of heaven, not of earth. Our focus is of earth, the things of earth, the realities of earth. And what Our Lady tells Luisa is, I'm going to teach you a way of heaven and no longer a way of earth. And when we hear this at first, we go, well, this doesn't sound right. We're here on earth. We've got to participate in the things of earth. And Jesus teaches Luisa, Our Lady teaches Luisa, this is not how we're supposed to live. As Catholics, we're supposed to live a universal life, this Catholic life, this life that Adam had before the fall. And she says, so I abandoned myself first in the supreme volition. So what does she do? She says, fiat. See, we have to learn to say fiat in all situations. When we don't say fiat, we get worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. That's not how we're supposed to live. Then over myself, so as to at least be able to sleep. So she says, I have to have some relief from this pain, this sorrow of not having life, not having Jesus. And so she says, just at least to be able to sleep, I'll give my fiat. Because she, at that point, She did not sleep. At that point, she did not eat. She did not drink. And she did not get out of bed. Yet her socks were dirty. Her socks were had holes in them. And why? Because at night, Jesus would take her and walk through the universe, show her the whole universe. This is the thing that's so amazing, that they made sure that when you go to Corrado, you see her socks, because they're dirty. There's holes in them. Why? Because they didn't have money? No, it's because they wanted to show that even though Luisa was in bed continuously, this bilocation that Jesus gave her was he was taking her through the universe. This is what Jesus wants to do with us. He's found the firstborn, the newborn, and he's asking us, would you be willing to go with me so that I can show you the things of heaven? And so she says, but while I was doing this, my mind was no longer inside of me, but outside of me. So this is a divine reality. We're not controlled by the things of the earth. It's now the things of heaven are become our main objective. This is what we want. I felt two arms clasping me and taking me up high, very high, under the vault of the heavens. See, here's this bilocation. God, through this holy angels, is taking Luisa to heaven. It's not just to be here on earth, but to really begin to participate in the things of heaven. See, we limit God. And like Jesus will tell us this, this disturbs him. This bothers Jesus. He wants to give us the things of heaven. It's at our disposal. When people say to me, I look for the grace, I pray for the grace to do whatever, you know, to do something, you know, and I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray and I nothing happens. You have to understand what grace is. Grace, as soon as you pray for it, you have it. As soon as you pray for grace, you have it. And then you use it. You say, okay, thank you. And you begin. Say, for example, you have to have the grace to shovel a sidewalk of snow. Oh, I need the grace to do this. You have it. Now go outside and shovel. See, it's not to wait for an event, not to wait for a thing to happen, but to begin to live this abundant life now. When you pray for the grace, you have it. It's immediate. Lord, give me the grace to stop smoking. You have the grace at that point. Now it's your decision. What do you want to do? Do you want to have another cigarette? I mean, the Lord is so powerful. And this is why he waits up for us to begin to live the life of heaven and no longer the life of earth. So she take this angel takes her up high, very high under the vault of heavens. And I could not see who it was. I feared. And a voice told me, do not fear, but look up high. That's for today. Everybody's looking down at their cell phones. Everybody is looking down. And I think it's specifically for this time to look up, to begin to raise our eyes to heaven, to think of the things of heaven, no longer the things of earth. Remember, it was Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton who said that there will be a box in every house, a black box in every house, where they will be staring at, mesmerized, hypnotized. The one reason today, why we are in the situation that we're in is we're all hypnotized by the television. And it's what is it? It's programs. We're being programmed. They're leading us, guiding us, directing us away from heaven. To be mesmerized by the things of earth. Oh, I love this. I love this movie. I can't wait to watch it again. I've talked to people who've seen some movies almost 30 times. Why? They love the movie. See, the human loves are not of God. When you love chocolate, when you love a cigarette, when you love this, when you love that. Jesus is saying, I want you to enter into the thought, the means of heaven, no longer the means of earth. So here she does, do not fear. Don't be afraid of what's happening today. Number one, look up high. Have your focus on the things of heaven rather than the things of earth. So I looked up and I saw heaven open and my longed for Jesus descended toward me. All of a sudden, here is God. When we look up, here is God. When we look down, what do we have? It's you're controlled by, you know, even the frequencies of the television. The head of the satanic order back in the 70s said, we don't care what you watch on television. As long as the television is on, we have you. What does that mean? It's the pulsation of the television that hypnotizes people. It puts them, you know, the hypnotic dye of death. You're watching that, the boob tube, as they say. Why? It's the hypnotic eye of death. You're focused on whether you're 8 or 80 years old. You're sitting there for hours just staring. You know, the children today have to learn the happiness, the joy of creation. You know, it's not the New Age movement. It's not, you know, loving Mother Earth. It's Jesus says to Louisa, we have to recognize God in all of creation. When you look at a beautiful sunset, you go, oh, Lord, you are so great. How magnificent you are. When you look at the leaves on a tree, Jesus says each leaf is an I love you. That we breathe in this I love you, and then we breathe back to God, his divine I love you. Not a human I love you anymore. It's to enter into this abundant life. This is what Jesus is asking of us. He's asking us to begin to live the life of heaven, as Our Lady told Louisa, and no longer the life of earth. This is happiness. We look up. We're not controlled by our television, our telephone, if you want to say. So do not fear, look up high. And I looked up and I saw the heaven open and there's Jesus, my long descending to me. This is what Jesus wants us to begin to see. He wants us to begin to experience this. Don't limit God. Oh, that's not for me. It can't be for you. You've already said no to God. Our job is to say to the Lord, whatever you want, I want. Please, fiat, let it be done to me as you wish, as you want. That's why Jesus says, the little children of the Holy Divine Will are going to be my divine masterpiece for God. He's going to delight in it. He's going to delight in us. This is what he has planned. So we both flung into each other's arms, and I clasped him, and he clasped me. And in my sorrows, I said, Jesus, my love, how you make me struggle. You make me reach the extremes. It shows how the ardor of your love for me is no longer what you had for me before. A lot of people say that. A lot of people say that. What Jesus is doing is he's leading us closer and closer and closer to him to enter into this abundant life that he has planned for us. This is what God is waiting for. And yes, it's a little difficult. When you climb up a mountain, it's a little steeper. It's a little higher. It's a little more dangerous, if you want to say. But the danger is we're leaving the things of earth and entering into the things of heaven. That's why I said right from the beginning, we have to learn this language of heaven. This is not a book that the philosophers wrote. It's not a book that the theologians wrote. It's the book that was dictated to Louisa by Jesus himself. As we read this, as we study this, the things of earth become distant. You begin to think from a divine perspective. See, our intellect, memory, and will, the three powers that God has given to us, our intellect, we begin to think with the mind of Christ. That's why we have our dogma and our doctrine. That's why we have the catechism, to teach us the way of heaven. And since people don't read the dogma and doctrines anymore, they don't read the catechism anymore, the majority, Jesus says, I'm going to give you the book of heaven to teach you in a very simple way, a very childlike way to understand divine realities. It's the same thing when you pray the rosary. We begin to see Jesus through the eyes of the Blessed Mother, through the heart of the Blessed Mother, the love of the Blessed Mother. We focus, our memory is focused on Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, not about ourselves. What we want, what we think, what we say. That's why when you enter into the divine will, the first thing we have to get rid of is the I, me, and my. You know, it's not about me. It's not about what's mine. It's not about what I want. It's what does Jesus want? What does the Lord want? We have to speak what our lady said. I am the humble maidservant, slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say. Total docility, total surrender, total submission. So we listen to Jesus and we respond to what he wants. This is what's so important. So hey, while I was saying this, Jesus took an attitude of sadness as if he did not want to hear my laments. And at the same time, from the height that we were at, I saw pouring water descend many places that were inundated. Seas and rivers united themselves to these waters and inundated towns and peoples, burying them into their bosom. What terror. We haven't seen anything yet. We're going to see this. We're going to experience this. Why? Jesus is preparing us for heaven. And so he's going to help us understand why this pouring water that descends from many places, these seas, these rivers, uniting themselves to these waters, inundating towns and peoples, burying them into their bosom. He's going to show us why this has to happen. And Jesus, all afflicted, told thee, my daughter, just as you see these waters that descend from the heavens in torrents, inundating, forming their strength, the sepulchres in which to bury entire cities. So does my divine will, more than water, make us inundations, not in certain times or places, but always, always over the earth, pouring its strong and high inundations over each creature. So here Jesus is saying, yes, you're going to see this. This is has to happen. He says, but at the same time, you're not understanding what I am doing. This abundant water, these rivers of life that is flowing from heaven to earth right now for each person. He says to Louisa, the divine will is an infinite ocean of love. And he says, I want you to dive into this infinite ocean and never leave it. Participate in the divine love of God. Participate in the divine life of God. Participate in the divine light of God. This is what God is asking. So he's asking us to begin to open our eyes. We're going to see things that are going to be difficult to watch. But Jesus says, there's more I love yous that are out there that he wants us to participate in. The things of heaven, no longer the things of earth. Why are we here on earth? We've been banished from paradise. That's where we belong. That's why when Our Lady appeared to Bruno in 1947, what did Our Lady say? She said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era. The new era has begun. How do we know the new era has begun? Because what Jesus and Mary gave to Louisa, the newborn, the firstborn, the book of heaven, they've given to her the book of heaven, and now they've given it to us. And they're expecting great things from us. Because as we read, as we study, as we put into practice these truths, these manifestations, these promises of Jesus to Louisa and to us, things change. Everything changes. Our focus is not of the earth any longer. Our focus is of heaven. So he says very, very clearly, he says this, he says the divine will, more than water, is pouring over every human being. He says, and over each soul, God has, who has planned to be here at this time, has the opportunity to embrace this divine life. But who lets themselves be inundated by this inundations of divine light, divine grace, divine love, divine sanctity, and of divine happiness that it possesses? Who does this? Who's reading the book of heaven? Does your family want it? No. Does your neighbors want it? No. How about your coworkers? How about your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners? Nobody wants this. Nobody wants this. Why? They're all looking down. They're not looking up. They're not listening to what Jesus has planned for this time. This is why, like I keep on saying, don't limit God. You limit God by saying, well, that's not for me. It's not for you. It can't be for you. See, he's looking for what Our Lady did. Fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. He's looking for that yes from within. Yes, I want this more than anything. Yes, I want your will, Lord. And I'm using my free will to choose to live in the divine will. I don't want to live in my human will anymore. Again, what is your human will? If you're really honest with yourself, it's what you say when you go to confession. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this any longer. Jesus says, good, good. So you make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. Why? To begin to enter into this abundant life. That's what God is waiting for. So what is he saying? What? No one. Who does this? No one. No one. Not your family, not your friends, not your neighbors, not your coworkers, not even you and me, where nobody's doing it yet. Jesus said, when I find the souls that want this more than anything, I will give it to the world. What does that mean? He hasn't found anybody yet. We're scratching the surface when we read the book of heaven. But to dive into this, to participate in this, to no longer look at the things of the earth, but looking at the things of heaven is what God is asking of us. He says, who has done this? He says, no one. What ingratitude to receive its goods in torrents and to not take them, to pass over them. Maybe just getting wet, but not, that's where we are. We're just getting wet. We're not even close to diving into this infinite ocean of the divine love. But not to let oneself be inundated to and drowned by the goods of my divine will. What sorrow for God. What sorrow for mankind. Everything is ready. Jesus says, creation has been given to mankind. Redemption has been given to mankind. And now Jesus says sanctification is offered to mankind. And he says, who wants this? Who wants to live this abundant life? Who wants to live this life of peace, joy, and happiness? He says, no one. You know, our job that God has given to us is to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that was given to Louisa. That's what God is waiting for. Who wants this? Who is doing this? So what do? When we become third order members, we say, I promise that I will read at least a half an hour a day. That's minimal. I promise that I will read a half an hour a day. I remember when all we had was mimeograph sheets of the divine will. We didn't have the books of heaven. We had nothing. And when God gave to mankind the book of heaven, what happened? Everything began to fall apart. Everything in the world began to fall. Is it because everything's falling apart? No, God's getting everything in order. The kingdom is coming. Look at our lives. Look at our families' lives. Look at our nation. Look at our church. What's going through? God is getting everybody ready for what they want. He has to give them. So he offers to us the book of heaven. And he says, here's the way and the how the kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. Do you want this? Do you want this? And when we say yes, then Jesus says, prove it. And people will read, well, I read the first chapter of volume one, and I don't think it's for me. No, it's not for you. You haven't even begun to learn the language of heaven. You haven't even begun to embrace this message, this vision, this locution, this apparition that Jesus wants to give to each and every one of us. He wants us to begin to be focused on the things of heaven and no longer the things of earth. He says, and I look at the whole earth to see who takes the inundations of my most holy divine will. This is the will of God. And I find only you, Louisa, the little daughter of the divine will, receiving these inundations, drowning in this ocean of love, letting yourself be transported wherever God wants. We just heard she went right up to heaven. Don't limit God. Well, that's not for me. It can't be for you. You've already said no to God. See, you don't pray for suffering. Now, we just went through the becoming a victim soul. Oh, I don't want to do the victim soul. I don't want to be nailed to the cross. The victim soul, these are the three, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. They suffered the most than anyone. And what Jesus is asking to us, are you willing to receive this life of Jesus and Mary given to Louisa by being peaceful, joyful, and happy? Are you willing to say to the Lord continuously that I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I glorify you, I worship you. That's the rounds, entering into this life of heaven while on earth, to give all the glory and honor and praise to our God, our Savior, our King, our Master, to go back to the womb of our Heavenly Father, to be born again, Jesus says, at each instant. See, it's not just to be born again. It's the constant heartbeat. It's the constant breath of a new life, a new abundant life that never ends. It's always more magnificent than the last heartbeat, the last breath. This is the abundant river. There's this ocean that's being poured on us right now of the divine will. And Jesus says, who wants this? Nobody but you, Louisa. So when people say to me, well, I'm living in the divine will, I go, that's nonsense. Nonsense. You want this gift. Yes, we all want this gift. But who's living in it? Which human is living in it? Louisa. So we go to Louisa and we pray with Louisa. Teach me, lead me, guide me, direct me to what Jesus and Mary want me to receive. What they have given to you, I want to receive that as well. I want to enter into this abundant life. Then who is your teacher? It's Jesus and Mary. They teach you in a minute way, every second, every minute, every hour, they're pouring upon you this abundant love of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, this life that our God wants us to live, not the human. See, when we're baptized, we are no longer baptized. We're no longer sons and daughters of Adam. We become sons and daughters of God in God's image. That's what baptism does. What the book of heaven does is you learn how to enter into God's likeness, the likeness of Jesus and Mary. And what does Jesus and Mary have? There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. There's no negativity. There's no sin. That's the life God is calling us to live. So when you, like I said, when you pray for grace, give me the grace to live this true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. It's there instantly. And all you have to do is begin to live it. And because of our human weakness, we fall out of it instantly because we haven't trained ourselves. We haven't learned how to do this yet. Where there's no worry, there's no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no complaints, there's no negativity, and eventually there will be no sin. That's what God's got planned for us. So this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying it very, very clearly. He says, I find only you, Louisa, receiving these inundations, drowning in it. That's what he says. I remember the first time I read that. Jesus says, I want you to dive into this infinite ocean of divine love and drown. And when I first read that, I went, I don't want to drown. No, you don't understand. It's the language of heaven. To begin to live never outside of this love, not with human love, not with human understandings, but always participating in divine love, divine understandings, never leaving it, as if you drowned and you belong to the ocean. He says very clearly, letting herself be transported wherever it wants. Jesus wants to take you places. He wants to take you to Golgotha. He wants to take you to Bethlehem. He wants to take you to Cana. He wants to take you to Capernaum. He wants to bring you. This is why he says, the gift that I give to the little children of the Holy Divine Will is bilocation. But it's not the bilocation of the saints. It's what Jesus has planned for us. It's not saintly. It goes beyond saintly, good, and holy. It's divine. Being transported wherever the divine will wants to take you. Where does the divine will want to take you? You say to him, you say to the Lord, whatever you want is what I want. Let it be done to me as you say. My prayer life, it's not reading the prayers, praying the prayers that you've learned, that you've memorized. It's when you enter into the rounds, Jesus teaches you how to pray. You'll be focused on one thing and then another thing will come up and you'll go, I'm being distracted. No, you're not being distracted. God is saying, listen to that dog bark. I want you to be the voice of all the dogs that ever barked and give to God all the praise, all the glory, all the honor that a God so rightly deserves by one of his creatures. And you do this in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. This is an explosion of I love yous to the throne of God by just listening to a dog bark. Because God is directing you what to do. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's directing you. You look at a leaf on a tree. You smell the fragrance of a flower. It's God is saying to you, I've given all of this to you. And he says, will you give this back to me with a divine I love you? So what's happening in creation, and that's why you fuse yourself with creation, is you're beginning to see God in all that's around you. Hear God in all that's around you. Breathe God in all that's around you. This is the ocean of love and creation. Then the ocean of love and redemption. And then this ocean of love in sanctification. To enter into this abundant life. To praise God and to love God and to glorify God and to worship God the way Jesus and Mary did. That's what they taught Louisa. And that's what God has given to us. So he says this. He says, letting herself be transported wherever it wants, remaining in its bosom. Pray. Listen to that. Pray to its gigantic waves. You become the prey. It's the waves take control of you. I mean, you've been in the ocean. I mean, probably. And sometimes you ever get in when it tows you out to sea, when you're in the wrong place at the wrong time and you're swimming like crazy and you can't go anywhere. This is what Jesus says. This is what I want for you. I want you to be so much part of me that you can never escape. You're my prey. This is what Jesus is doing. This is what Jesus wants. He says, so there is no sight more beautiful, no scene more touching than to see the littleness of the creature prey to these waves. You become the waves take you, you know, and you're struggling not. And where are the waves taking you? Into the divine love of God, into his sacred heart, into the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is the fire that's going to come from heaven, symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is what God wants us to begin to live. He wants us to begin to live this abundant life, not the human, but the abundant divine life of God, the abundant divine life of the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. This fire that's coming from heaven is going to consume the world in love. There's nothing to be afraid of. The only thing you should be afraid of is if you're not connected to Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, then I would be terrified. Wailing and grinding of teeth, Jesus says, is going to happen for those souls who don't want what God wants for them. Because they'll be separated from this abundant love, this abundant light, this fire of love. Jesus says, the soul can be seen now prey to the waves of divine light, as though buried inside of them, now drowned by divine love, now invested and embellished by divine sanctity. This is not human. We have to begin to understand this. Our life, as Our Lady's revelation said to Bruno, is to live in eternity, to participate in the beatific vision. Jesus says, I want this to begin now, not after you die. I want you to be resurrected now. He says, I rose from the dead. Why? So people can rise from this human misery to begin to live this true and abundant life of Jesus and Mary. That's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for this. And who is he asked to do this? Not the saints, not Saint Francis, not Saint Thomas Aquinas, not Saint Claire. It's us. How do we know this? Because we have the book of heaven, the way and the how this is going to happen. Jesus says, I have predestined you to live at this time to give you this gift of gifts. So why is there all this doom and gloom out there? The doom and gloom is human. We should be filled with peace, joy, and happiness, entering into this abundant life. We should be filled with such gratitude and happiness that God is opening our eyes to see him in all of creation, opening our eyes to see him in all of redemption, opening our eyes to see him in all of sanctification. This is what God has planned. This is our life. So listen to what he says. The soul who does this, who's open to the divine will, can see now, is now prey to the ways of divine light, though buried inside of them, drowned inside of them, now drowned by divine love, this ocean of love, now invested and embellished by divine sanctity. This is our life. This is our life. What delight to see Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. And this is why I, Jesus, descended from heaven. See, Jesus is coming. He says that to St. Faustina. The final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. To enjoy these enrapturing scenes of your littleness carried in its arms in the inundations of my eternal will, my eternal volition. And you say that my love for you has declined? You are wrong. Jesus loves us so much that he, every day, if we're reading the calendar, every day he's teaching us, he's leading us, he's guiding us, he's directing us. Jesus is sitting right next to us. Mary is sitting right next to us. And he says this, I will be right there to touch your mind so that you will understand this, and I will touch your heart so that you will love this. We have to learn the way of heaven. and no longer the way of earth. The way of earth has to be foreign to us. What has to be our life is the way of heaven. And he says, know that your Jesus is faithful in divine love, and Jesus sees you under the waves of his most holy divine will. He divinely loves you more and more. Do you believe that? Or are you miserable? Are you worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative? It's because you don't believe this. Do we understand that what Jesus has given to us, he didn't give to the saints? We love the saints, but the saints were taught to do the will of God. What Jesus has given to us is what he gave to Louisa, how to live in the will of God. The true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, not just to do the will of God, to receive a virtue or two like the saints, but to begin to enter into this abundant life, to possess this abundant life. You have to know that your Jesus is faithful in divine love, and he sees you under the waves of his divine will, and he divinely loves you more and more. And what happens? After having seen this, Jesus disappeared. He wants us to meditate on this. He has no more to say to us. He says that to Louisa. I can't come back to you until you learn what I've spoken to you. Do we do that when we read the calendar? Do we do that when we read the hours of the Passion? Do we do that when we read the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will? We did the consecration yesterday. Do we understand that this new and abundant life is ours? Why can we be miserable? We can't. We have to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness, knowing what God has promised to us. These truths, these manifestations are coming to life in us, little by little, day by day, breath by breath, heartbeat by heartbeat. It's coming to life. Having said this, Jesus disappeared, and I remained all abandoned, drowned in the waves of the divine fiat, never leaving the waves of the divine fiat. If we're not experiencing peace, joy, and happiness, if we're not experiencing this now, when are we going to start? We have to understand, Our Lady said 47 years ago, time has now come to an end. Okay. New life is beginning. New life is coming. Abundant life is coming. When the time ends, when everything stops, are we going to be ready to live this abundant life? All right. This is the only time when we can freely breathe this in and live this. Because when time stops, that's where we begin to live. All that we've learned is right there at that point. All that we studied is at that point. And that's why Jesus says, do you want 30, 60, or 100-fold? I will give to you whatever you want. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. That all the little children of the holy divine will become divinely healed and live this divine life that God wants us to possess. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and have a great day. See you next week.